Welcome to the Introvert Entrepreneur Podcast for February 22nd, 2013. I'm Beth Below, your go-to resource for all things introvert. The Introvert Entrepreneur was founded in 2010 and is dedicated to providing coaching and training services to introverts and those who love them. For many people, discovering where they fall on the introvert-extrovert spectrum didn't necessarily come at an early age. It probably happened perhaps in college or during their first job. So they grew up with a set of perceptions about who they were, and those perceptions may or may not have been reality. And I think this is especially true for introverts. For instance, I grew up thinking that I was socially unskilled and not a particularly good conversationalist. I thought I was a bit nerdy and never going to be one of the popular kids. While my self-esteem was never particularly high, I found activities like music that made me a nerd among nerds, so I felt accepted more often than not. The discovery that I was an introvert opened a portal to new levels of self-awareness that completely changed my life. I heard similar stories from my clients and the people I've spoken with over the past 3 years. From this one piece of information, they've often started the journey of learning how to be their most powerful and authentic selves. My guest today is Dr. Alice Boyes, and she was one of the fortunate ones. She learned that she was an introvert at a very young age. I think she says she was around 7 or 8. But it was really only recently that she started to appreciate her introversion rather than see it as a personal fault. Dr. Boyes' PhD research about couples was published in the Journal of Personality and Social Psychology, the top U.S. social psychology journal. She writes for PsychologyToday.com and several magazines, including Women's Health Australia. She ran her own psychology practice in New Zealand for 4 years, but is leaving that clinical practice to become a digital nomad. A large portion of her psychotherapy clients were entrepreneurs seeking treatment for anxiety. One of her recent Psychology Today articles was featured on lifehacker.com and has gotten more than 100,000 views. Hi, Alice. Thank you so much for joining me for the podcast today. I'm so excited to have a conversation with you.
Hello. Hope everyone can understand my thick New Zealand accent.
Oh, it's a beautiful accent. Yes, I think it sounds lovely. And so I'm curious, because your voice naturally sounds like it's smiling. What's making you smile inside today?
Just doing this is probably the thing that's making me smile the most. I like novelty. I like doing new things. So that's something that gives me a lot of pleasure. And this is not something I do every day. And I'm just happy to be doing something new.
Yeah, always good to stretch ourselves into something different. Well, I discovered you. We discovered each other on Twitter.
And I
did a little reading up on you, and I want to talk a little bit later about a Psychology Today post that you did recently. But before we get into that, I want to just talk about you as an introvert. And I'm curious, when did you discover that you were an introvert, and how has your relationship with your introversion shifted over the years?
Yeah, so when I discover question is such a fun one to answer, because I'd never actually thought about it before. But when I thought about it, I could think of an answer straight away, which was when I was maybe like 7 or 8, really young, I did the Myers-Briggs test. Like, my mum was really into doing like workshops on Enneagram and Myers-Briggs and those kinds of things. And we lived in a small town. And so we used to come across for weekends in the big city. Like, it was where I live now. It was like 3 hours away. So she would go on these workshops. And I did the Myers-Briggs test, and I came out as an E. Like, I don't know what I answered to come out as an E, but I was literally 7 or 8. I remember her saying, "No, you're not an E." And my, kind of overly sensitive brain interpreted as like not being an E as something that was negative. But she wouldn't have been saying it was a negative, but that would have just been how I interpreted. So it was probably both where I learned I wasn't, in fact, an extrovert and was an introvert, and probably also where I got this idea that maybe it was like something that was less positive than being extroverted.
Yeah. So you said age 7 or 8?
Yeah, really young. It would have just been, it was the kind of child I was, that if mum was doing something, I'd want to be kind of doing it too.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And so it sounds like in the beginning it wasn't necessarily a positive thing that you interpreted it as. How has that how has that evolved over the years?
Yeah, so like growing up, like I know that I used to come home from school and spend hours in my room playing with my Barbie dolls, and my mum was kind of concerned that I wasn't going to make friends. Like, you know, I just would sort of say, well, if you're not interested in going to other kids' houses, like if you keep always declining invitations, you know, people are not going to want to be friends with you at school if you're not willing to go to their house after school. And I just remember thinking, you know, I've had to spend all day with all these people, right? And you're asking me to go and spend more time with people. So that was kind of where maybe the sort of introversion and maybe some social anxiety got created from, you know, mum was just trying to be helpful, but I interpreted it in a way that made me maybe feel more anxious and maybe like it was less okay to need that alone time. And then the shift was really reading Susan Cain's book, which I think was a shift for an awful lot of people, where it really just put I had never even considered or thought about the fact that I was ashamed of being an introvert, and it made me just really aware of that, and that there was some other possibility other than feeling ashamed of being an introvert. And I'd been through, you know, 9 years of psychology training, and that had not kind of come up in that process. So that was a big shift.
It's amazing how one book can change our lives so dramatically. And so it sounds like you are kind of recalibrating how you're thinking of your introversion.
Yeah, and recalibrating how I think of all of my personality traits as well. Like, another trait that I've got is disagreeableness. So, you know, from the, I don't know how many readers will be familiar with the Big Five model, but I'm high in disagreeableness, which sounds kind of like a horrible thing, but I've managed to kind of make some sort of peace with that. And some of it's like, you know, for example, Gretchen Rubin talks about that in her Happiness Project book, or it may have been the sequel to that book, about that. And so it's been various things that have helped me become more comfortable and more accepting of my own brain and my own temperament and personality.
And you remind me that any trait can be disagreeable or it can be healthy. You know, we can have an unhealthy or healthy relationship with it. And so even something that on the surface might not seem like a positive, it depends on how we frame it and how we look at it.
Yeah, well, I mean, it has negatives, but it also makes me wanting to do things my own way rather than just go along with the way things are done. It's also, like, in terms of entrepreneurship, is something that is quite helpful. So, you know, there are some social situations where it's not helpful, but there are other ways that it's actually been really helpful to me to have that inclination.
Well, you've started to answer, I think, my next question, where I'm curious about what prompted you to start your own business. You know, why were you drawn to entrepreneurship in the first place?
The only full-time job I've ever had, like the only job where I had to be there at 8:30 and wasn't allowed to leave till 5 o'clock, was when I was a psychology intern. So the last year of my training, where I'd done all the academic work, and then you do a year of essentially supervised practice and then sit some final exams. And I just didn't cope with that at all. I had expected that I would build up some stamina for it, that it might be difficult initially, but that eventually I would cope with it. And it just never happened. I lost a ton of weight during that year. I started waking up at like 4 o'clock in the morning because the environment just didn't suit me. So it was working within the public health system here in New Zealand, and like there weren't enough offices, so people would need to work on computers in computer rooms with other people around, and all sorts of those kinds of things. And they're just, you know, and there were very big teams of people, so we would sit around and have these meetings with, you know, 20 people. And it really didn't work for me. I learned that I just couldn't be in a job where I needed to be there all day, that I needed to be able to set my own schedule, and that it was necessary. That it was something like that I wasn't going to adjust to. So that's how I ended up deciding to go into business for myself so I could set my own schedule, basically.
And I understand you're undergoing a transition even within your business now.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about that and how perhaps being an introvert, especially now with this kind of newfound sense of strength around being an introvert, how that's influencing how you're moving forward?
So there was sort of one, I guess the step in between was after I graduated, I went to, I got an academic job. You know, I achieved the highly valued prize at the end of doing a PhD of getting a job at a university in the UK. And I realized there that it wasn't, that being an academic wasn't for me. And so I started up clinical practice. And I love clinical practice, but I want to travel. So for the last, for a really long time, I've been spending probably about 3 months, sometimes 4 months a year traveling. And obviously not, that's, it's problematic in terms of running my practice. Like I lose all that income while I'm away, but I also lose a lot of income because I can't really take on very many new clients, like even in the 8 weeks, sort of 2.5 months before I know I'm leaving, I need to start telling people I can only see you for, you know, so many weeks and then I'm going to be away. So I have actually decided now that I'm going to do some open-ended travel. So I'm leaving clinical practice and trying to make a go of some other things. And I've built up some stuff. So I've got a base of different sources of income now and we'll be spending some time focusing on building that up a bit more and just as an experiment to see whether it works or not.
Well, that's kind of proof that introverts are willing to take some risks. So
yeah,
it sounds like you're leaping and the net will appear.
Yeah, I definitely related to my colleague at Psychology Today, Sophia Demblin, has written some great, written a great post about that, about being that, you know, introverts definitely can be risk takers. And I definitely fall into that category. You know, I don't buy lotto tickets because that seems just stupid. But I certainly am willing to take calculated risks.
Speaking of Psychology Today, you write for them as well. And you recently had a blog post called 7 Success Tips for Introverts. And 2 points in particular stood out for me that I'd like to explore some more with you. The first one was distinguish between introversion and lack of confidence. And the second one was to adopt a growth mindset. So first, let's talk at introversion and lack of confidence. How do you distinguish between one's personality and energetic type and their confidence level?
So there's obviously some overlap and some interrelationships, but one of the things people can ask themselves is, you know, do I feel confident in my abilities? And also, do I feel confident in being liked? So we know that, like, one of the, we know that people with high self-esteem feel like they're automatically going to be accepted by other people. And people with lower self-esteem feel like being accepted by other people is conditional on some sort of, on performing a certain way or conditional on something else. So, you know, if you can answer both of those questions yes, then you can see yourself as being confident. But if you answer one of those questions no, then maybe that's something that it would be helpful to work on. So am I confident in my abilities and am I confident that other people will like me generally? The other things in terms of distinguishing anxiety are like asking yourself if you're avoiding things because you're making negative predictions about the outcome. Like if you're predicting that, you know, making a call to someone you don't know or sending an email to someone you don't know is going to result in a negative outcome, then if you're predicting that, those are the kinds of things that tend to be anxiety driven. Or intolerance of uncertainty is another thing that is often anxiety related. So if the intolerance of uncertainty means when you can't be 100% certain of a positive outcome, so you might, you know, refuse to delegate to somebody else because you are pretty confident that they might do an okay job, but just on the off chance that they won't, you'll hold back because you need to be 100% certain that there's not going to be a negative outcome. So those are also two other questions that can help identify when anxiety is driving something.
And one thing that's come up time and time and time again is distinguishing shyness from introversion. And another thing that overlaps, how do you explain the difference between the two?
Shy, that's like the term shy is not something I've really thought that much about until I've seen people writing about it. So it's not something that I've given a lot of thought to. But when I do see people talking about, you know, making a point of saying shyness, you know, introversion doesn't equal shyness. It seems that often they're trying to say introversion doesn't equal social anxiety. So, I know, like, in terms of, like, the temperament characterizations that psychologists use, my temperament is slow to warm. So I do stand back and observe before jumping in to something. I like to build up familiar relationships. So the tendency to hold back before jumping in could be seen as shy, but it's not really social anxiety. It's just a style. And I would suspect that, you know, that's often included in the definition of introversion. So when people say introversion doesn't equal shy, I'm not sure how they're characterising that tendency to sort of stand back before jumping in socially. I think, like, a really massive thing for me has been the ability, and, you know, sort of getting back to that very sort of first question you asked about how has my relationship to my introversion changed, is being able to cherry pick the things that are helpful to me and what I read, and ignore the things that aren't helpful. Like, so Susan Cain's book is called Quiet. I'm not quiet. I'm a fast talker. I like to talk a lot. So, you know, whereas, you know, there's a lot of, I see a lot of other introverts writing about how the fact that they don't like people that talk too much. Well, I love people that talk a lot. Like, I love those. I like conversations where people interrupt each other. I like that sense of energy in the conversation. But I need a lot of time to recover from that. Like, I only want to do that for, you know, a limited number of hours in the week. So just being able to take on board what's useful to you and leave what's not is, I think, really important for people.
I'm wondering if you could also talk about this, another thing that stood out to me in your blog post about growth mindset. And can you tell us what that is and why it's especially important for introverts?
So a growth, the literature makes a distinction between growth mindset and fixed mindset. So fixed mindset means where you believe capacities or abilities are fixed, that you have a certain level of something and that's relatively unchangeable, whereas a growth mindset is the belief that you can improve at things. And there's lots of research showing that people that have growth mindsets, so having a sense that you can get better at anything that you put your mind to, and that's important for your bigger goals.
And why do you feel like that's something that introverts need to be remembering?
Sometimes people can get into traps of avoidance. So whenever you avoid something, you'll get increased anxiety. So avoidant coping is the thread that underlies all sorts of psychological problems, but also just kind of general, a lot of general life problems. So anything that you, like the more, like someone with, the kind of stereotypical example is, or someone with OCD that avoids germs, and the more they avoid germs, the more anxious they get about germs. So anything you avoid, or the person with an eating disorder that avoids, you know, butter and then gets more anxious about fat and gaining weight, and those kinds of things, important. So, you know, learning to recognise when a history of avoidance might be giving you a missed signal about your nature, but maybe you there are things that you can do and can cope with. If you can overcome that anxiety that's built up through avoiding, and realising that there are ways to do things without being too overstimulated. So, you know, realizing there are ways to do social networking and those kinds of things, and manage the overstimulation and that kind of thing that might cause.
It's such a great point. I think particularly for introverts, networking is one of those things that many of them, they'll just, it's kind of almost an automatic response of, I'm not good at networking, or I don't like networking. Yeah. And it seems to me when we do that, we're setting up that track of avoidance. And the more we avoid it, the worse we feel about it, or our ability to feel, you know, to be good at it.
Yeah, people need to not think in ways that are excessively black and white. And they also just need to really, to use their, you know, especially if people that have got disagreeable temperament like mine, it's good to find your own way of doing something, to find the way that, you know, you can experiment with doing things in a way that isn't too overstimulating. Or learning skills, physiological self-soothing skills, or scheduling skills, or, you know, those kinds of things, so that you can do things that are a bit overstimulating but give yourself enough recovery time.
Along those lines, you know, just in terms of showing up in the world, you shared with me in an email that one of the most important skills for introverts is just letting people know you exist. Would you say more about that?
Yeah, sometimes I felt like my goal in life is just to be invisible, you know, to not draw any attention to myself, to just get on and do my own things and make enough money to live on without needing to have any increased kind of social attention on me. Like the more successful my Psychology Today posts get, the more emails I get to deal with people sharing personal information with me or asking questions or all of that kind of thing. So it's a real it's hard to be that success comes with that other stuff that actually I would rather shut out. So I've got a tendency to want to not reach out to other people, because any kind of expanding of circles or influence or anything like that tends to bring like a lot more social stuff to need to deal with and a lot more social relationships to need to manage. But when I look at things that have been really successful for me, a lot of it has just been like reaching out to someone in the first place. So when I came back to New Zealand after working overseas and was starting my business, I reached out to a bunch of magazine editors and said, you know, these are my qualifications, this is my background. If you need quotes for stories, then, you know, please come to me. And it was doing that for a period of quite a few years that led to freelancing at some of the magazines that had previously used me for quotes. So, and then I did this life hacker, which is a big tech website. They republished one of my articles about a week or 10 days ago, and it's gotten 100,000 views. And all that came about because they had a submit a tip button, and I submitted my articles and said, I'm the author of these articles. You know, I think I'm a really long time reader of Life Hacker. I think your audience would like them. And so just those kinds of things.
Well, another point that goes back to what you said at the start of your answer was about your goal of being invisible, but then when you have more visibility, that means more people are coming to you, and that can be stressful. And if I'm recalling, that was another point in your article, like to look at, is what you're feeling fear of success, or is it more about the influx of attention or visibility or demands on your time and energy that's really kind of stopping you?
I feel performance pressure. Like when I've written an article that's really kind of blown up and been really successful, I feel pressure then next time not to start to suck, you know, like to write something that's, you know, also successful. But I quite like that. Like I quite like the sense of performance pressure. But what I really don't like is even questions that seem really simple, questions to get asked, or simple requests that don't seem like they should be a drain, just really are a drain on me. It's just something that I know, like they make me feel kind of jangly and horrible. And yeah, so just kind of recognizing that and doing the best I can to deal with those kinds of things.
Well, you've shared some really wonderful points here, and I appreciate the opportunity to go in a little bit more depth on some of those ones from your blog post. So thank you very much for that. I want to wrap up our conversation with a question that I ask all of my guests. And this is if you were granted a year's vacation on Introvert Island, and you could only take 3 books with you, what would you take with you and why?
The first thing that comes to mind is The Happiness Project, so Gretchen Rubin's book. So that's a book that I can imagine it's a book I like to reread or reread bits of, and that would be a good thing. I could probably read it 10 times in a year on Introvert Island. And the other book that I would take would be, I'm a sort of practical person, so I would find some sort of encyclopedia of survivor skills, you know, how to make a lean-to hut and how to, because I'm someone that needs the instructions. I'm really good at following the instructions, but you know, I don't have natural instincts in terms of outdoorsy things like that. So I'd take the most massive encyclopedia of that kind of thing that I could find. And a third one, I actually don't read books. I read so much for work that I don't read books. I listen to audiobooks all the time, so I think I would need to find a way of taking enough sort of batteries for a DVD player or something to last the year. And if I was doing that, I would take some DVDs of Survivor, the CBS show, because I think that would help me maintain an adventurous spirit and also see other people kind of coping with being marooned on an island. So yeah, I'd figure out a way to take a year's supply of batteries.
And you're my first guest who's mentioned like bringing a DVD, and that's very creative to bring Survivor. It seems like you get lots of inspiration from it, and it almost serves as a reference tool as well. Definitely. Well, you're going to be experiencing lots of adventures, I think, coming up here as you make this transition. And so if somebody's interested in keeping up with you on these adventures, how can they learn more about you and what you have to offer?
The place that I'm most active at the moment is on my Psychology Today blog, and I am focusing on Twitter in terms of, you know, picking a social network to focus on at the moment. So if people want to get my updates, they can either follow me on Twitter, where I tweet my stuff and other people's stuff that I like, or they can also sign up to my email list. So there's a subscribe button underneath at the bottom of most of my Psychology Today posts. If people only want to hear the message once rather than the, you know, Twitter style where I might tweet something out multiple times and that kind of thing, then the email subscribe option is probably the best one.
I thank you so much, and I wish you only the best as you enter into this new chapter, and so appreciate you taking time to talk with us. There are so many provocative ideas I took away from this conversation. The most meaningful was around fear of success. I've always had trouble wrapping my brain around the idea that people were afraid of success, especially after working so hard for it. What Alice shared about the pressures success brings for the introvert really resonated for me. It's like a phrase I often use. When there's a lot going on and numerous demands for my time and energy, I talk about feeling preemptively exhausted. That thought slows me down and stimulates a feeling of dread and causes me to procrastinate and sometimes even slightly sabotage my efforts, all because I know success is going to bring more and more and more of everything. With this insight, I'm going to be more diligent about how I choose to spend my energy. I want to make sure that the success I want to experience is aligned with what will nurture me and even energize me. This means that I need to be more intentional about what I say yes and no to and how I pace my work. It also means letting go of this idea of preemptive exhaustion, because it serves no purpose other than to take me out of the present moment. Well, actually, I take that back. It does serve a particular purpose. It does tell me that perhaps I've overscheduled myself or taken on too many projects at once. That's information I can use to avoid setting myself up for the same situation again. Thank you so much for listening today. If you want to learn more about my coaching, speaking, and training services, you can find me online at www.theintrovertentrepreneur.com. You'll also find information about my first book, Insight: Reflections on the Gifts of Being an Introvert. The book makes a great gift for yourself or the introvert in your life. Until we meet again, remember, success is an inside job.